Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long, long getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally here. I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's in my way.
Good evening from the Cellar Dwellers here on NDB Radio. Today is May 18, 2008. You all recognize that bit of music. It's, of course, Faith of the Heart from Star Trek Enterprise. To many fans, a great song. It signified the beginning of yet another hour of Star Trek for all of us. Obviously, you know why we're here. We're all jazzed. We're all excited. I'm your host, Roger Noriega. Along with me will be coming up shortly will be Shazam, as well as Shadow. And I'm going to get right down to it. Right here with us live is the man, John Billingsley. Welcome, John, with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me be here.
Oh, no. Thank you. John, I wanted to just very quickly go over some of the stuff that you're working on, and I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but...
I will, and then let me tell you a funny story about the theme song. But first, go ahead. You
start, oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. All right, let me see. As we all know, John Billingsley is very recently in the season premiere to 24, which, unfortunately, the season finale is playing tonight. Go figure. He's also... appeared on 6 Feet Under. I remember that episode. I recognized you, even though you were only in the first 5 minutes or so.
I would say, I was killed in that one.
Yeah.
I've killed more than I've been killed, but I've died a few times.
Well, that's right. You had a horror role, too, which we'll get into that one right now. He's also been in the feature film Out of Time, has appeared in Cold Case, CSI New York, Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, The Glass House, High Crimes, and White Oleander. As a matter of fact, he's had regular starring roles in Grey's Anatomy, CSI, The West Wing, Family Law, Judging Amy, NYPD Blue, Gideon's Crossing, The Practice, The X-Files, and the aforementioned 6 Feet Under. I tell you, he's been doing quite a bit of it.
A bunch of other crap, too.
A lot of crap. Well, it may be the boob tube, John, but we love watching it.
Oh, I mean it affectionately.
Yes, of course. I want to welcome now on with us my co-host, Shazam and Shadow. Come on in, guys.
Shazam, how you doing, folks? Thank you very much for coming on, Mr. Billingsley. How you doing?
My pleasure. Hello, Shazam. Hello, Shadow. Do I need a sort of a...
Hey, John.
A fake name, too? You can call me, I don't know, what can you call me?
Fox? I don't know.
I feel like I should have a fake name.
Well, you know, my fake name is Roger, so it's all good.
All right, Roger. I think you should call me Mud Hen.
Fair enough. Then we'll just stick with Mud for right now.
Mud is good, yeah. Call me Mud.
All right, we're good. I want to welcome in the chat room Thundercracker. And, of course, I know, Don, you're in there. Thanks for being with us. I think it's Zizuar. I think that's the moniker that you're using. But, hey, like I say, we're all excited. I know some more are going to be coming in. And, John, I forgot to ask you, if we do get some callers other than my co-hosts, would you be interested in taking some live calls?
Sure.
Cool. We're good. Well, you know what?
I have my martini. I'm ready to gab.
There you go.
All right.
Now, I have to tell you a funny story about the song before you go any farther because, you know, a lot of people hated that song. I know.
Wow.
I know you know that. You may yourselves have hated that song. But the day after 9/11... I drove to the studio, and there were a group of people sort of marching outside. I thought, boy, what has Paramount done to incite people, especially the day after 9/11? It was folks saying, we hate the Star Trek theme song. We hate the Star Trek theme song. So that gives you a pretty good indication of how deep the passion runs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I thought, wow. Bigger fish to fry these days, surely.
No kidding. I did not know of that.
Yeah,
I know that.
Just a small handful. It's sort of like, I'd have called that off, I think, you know?
Yeah. I know that Enterprise premiered after 9/11. I believe it was somewhere on the 20th or so. And it was amazing to me, all of the fans coming out hating that song. And I can't
believe
it. Oh,
my God, I know. Just loathing it. That's still, the two questions I get the most about Star Trek usually are, how did you feel about the finale, and what did you think about the song? And I confess, I didn't really have strong feelings one way or the other about the song. I wasn't too fond of the finale, but...
Yeah, I know. I don't
years later, I still get those questions. So.
Yeah, I don't think we were very fond of it. So, all right, hold on. I got to go to my notes here. Okay, where's the question? Don't ask John about the finale. Damn,
no,
I think I'm out of questions.
Finale. I hated the finale, just like everybody else.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but Enterprise was a great program. I think it.
Ooh, my wife is bringing me a small round of cheese. How exciting! Thank you.
That
very much.
Will do. Now, will your cats? And this is my first official question. Will your cats fight you for that cheese, piece of cheese?
Well, sadly, this is sort of a sad day for us because one of our cats actually just had surgery. She had a tumor in her intestines, a cancerous tumor, taken out this afternoon. So we are hoping she makes a quick recovery, but she's in the hospital today, and she'll be there for a couple of days while some biopsies are done on her lymph nodes and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So she's not here to fight me for the cheese. The other cat would probably want to bite if he was in reach, but he's in the other room.
Fair enough. Who knows? Maybe he'll get a whiff it, and we'll see.
Yeah.
John, I beg a moment, and my co-host, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt. My youngest is here, who's been a fan of the program forever. She's only 12. Her name is Giselle, and she would like to say hi.
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 She's my little 12-year-old. She's also on the program from time to time. And she was just dying to say hi. She knows who you are. She's seen you on television and as well as some of the other programs. So.
Oh, well, that's so sweet.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
My pleasure. Thank you. I hope you don't mind if I'm eating a little cheese while we talk.
That's fine.
If you hear cheese munching, that's me.
Okay.
And martini sipping.
It's all good. My little one feels right at home because she's a little mouse.
All right.
I want to go ahead and welcome guest 5160 into the chat room. Guys, register at blogtalkradio.com. Take on a persona. Be someone and engage us in the interactive chat room.
Persona, that's the word I was looking for earlier.
There we are. Now we have it. I want to remind everyone, if you want to go ahead and call and speak to us live, it's 914-338-0314. Once again, this is a special Monday night program of NDB Radio with the man, live and raw, John Billingsley.
That's kind of exciting to be called the man. Wow. I can't wait to Bonnie. Bonnie, I'm the man.
Well,
how many people are listening, do you think?
Well, as of right now, I know we have 5 in the chat room, and based on the numbers, I'll be able to tell you that right away. I can tell you how many callers. We have, bear with me a moment, as of right now, we have 3 more callers and another 11 people listening live, and we just started.
Holy cow.
So it's not too bad. I expect the numbers to be much higher, and I figure we're going to be getting a lot of questions in the chat room in a moment. And Don is saying he's a cheese Nazi. No cheese for you. So it's already begun. So I know we'll be getting questions from the chat room. But, hey, I want to pass it on over to my co-host because I already asked my first question.
All right.
Shazam, take it away.
Shazam, how you doing, folks? Mr. Billings, first question I want to ask you, what was your experience?
Call me Mudhand, though.
Yeah, it's Mud.
Oh, Mud, right.
Yeah, well, no, but you can cut short into Mud. Mud Hen, I think, is more appropriate than Mud.
Is that Mud what?
I would just call you Zam, would I?
Oh, that's true. Good point.
I'll just call you Zam. You can call me Mud. How about that? We'll sort of
okay.
be on a real casual basis.
Cool. It's a deal.
All right.
I was going to ask you, what was your experience like working on the set of Enterprise and your experience playing Dr. Phlox?
Those are such open-ended questions. You have to be more specific. Ask me something more specific.
Okay, what was
the
I guess
back
you could...
around on the interviewer.
Very well done.
You're good.
This way you will know what it is like to be interviewed and learn from the experience.
There you go. There you
Touché.
Go.
Hey, look, I kept it simple. I asked him about the cat, all right?
What specifically would you like to know about my experience on Enterprise? It was
I
multifaceted.
Guess, what you thought of the, I guess, the show, maybe the stories that you guys made and wrote, and basically, like, just how you felt with the approach of your character and just how you got along with people on you know, the rest of the crew, or cast and crew. On
All right, well, taking those in reverse order, I got along very well with everybody. Everybody was a dream. I'm sorry,
cool.
Any more salacious stories to tell because
mm-hmm.
we're really lovely. And the story or lines, I don't know. You know, I mean, enough time has passed for me to not have to be too politic. I honestly thought that the folks behind the show had run out of steam a little bit by the time they got to Enterprise. You have to appreciate the position they were in, though. They had been working like dogs for years on one show after another, and they really wanted a year's break, and Paramount said, no, no break, we want another show now. And so they sort of rushed Enterprise into development before I think they really had a handle on exactly what they wanted to do with the show.
Mm.
So, you know, my honest sense is that the conceit was good, the idea of going back in time and doing a show about life and Kirk and Spock, but that they didn't really have enough stories developed in advance of our premiere to take them through even the first season. And I think the audience kind of dropped off fairly quickly because they felt they were seeing some familiar tropes, some stories that had already been done before, to be honest with you, in previous incarnations of Enterprise, of Star Trek. Obviously, there are other reasons for the show's ultimate failure. I mean, it did last four seasons, but that was sort of, you know, a gift to us, really. If it was just about the ratings, we would have been canceled much earlier than that. UPN, that wasn't helpful. That was a network that was dying.
Yeah.
In terms of the character, it was a great joy for me to play that guy because I tend to play a lot of lunatics and perverts and child molesters and nut jobs and et cetera. And Phlox was probably closest to my own personality. He's an optimist, somebody who takes a great joy in living, and somebody who has a certain kind of philosophical outlook that is spiritual without being religious, and yet he also has a strong pragmatic streak. So on a lot of levels, for me, it was a rare and fun anomaly to get to play somebody that I could actually identify with.
Oh, yeah, always the case. That's always good. And I thought you did a really good job playing him. I liked the character very much. So.
Oh, good. Well, thanks.
Yes, it was something that we enjoyed. Now, Shadow, before I interrupt you, I want to let everyone know, my goodness, the board is lit up. Bear with us. As soon as Shadow asks his question, we're going to take our first caller. So, Shadow, it's all yours. Take it away.
Hey, John. I'm the guy that made contact with you originally here.
Oh, cool.
Hey, what's your fascination with the Seattle area? I noticed you did a lot of work in this area up here.
I lived here. I lived there for years. I moved there out of college when I was 21, in part because my parents had relocated there and I hadn't seen them for a while. I'd been doing a lot of traveling abroad and in the States, and so I arrived for a visit, but it was often the case when you're 21, you're flat bust, and you visit your parents and you end up staying for a year in their basement. You know the story. At the time, Seattle had a very vibrant theater scene. I don't know if it still does. I'm not as tuned in to theater in Seattle, but I started auditioning for some plays and got a few gigs, and you know, the next thing, 13 years goes by. It's a wonderful town, a wonderful part of the world. If I hadn't needed to make a buck, you can't make a buck in the theater. Hence, I haven't moved down to L.A. I never would have left. It was a dream place as far as I'm concerned, and my wife and I still think about if we ever get out of this business, retiring back up to that part of the world.
Oh, very good.
Now, let me ask you a question there. You're a baseball fan, are you not, John?
I am indeed.
Are you a Mariner fan?
Well, you know, you got to root for the home team. I mean, it's really, really hard to... I still have a soft spot for the Mariners because I was a Mariners fan back in the years when it was Alvin Davis at first and Jim Presley at third.
Oh, yes!
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could go on with Dave Valley and Mike Moore.
Bill Cottle.
Langston. Yeah. Phil Bradley. I remember the opening day. It would have been like 86, I think, when walk-off grand slam to win opening day. I saw no-hitter that, who pitched it? Guy used to be a brewer, came over to our club. The last play of the game, Omar Vizquel, bare hands, a shot to short. Throws a runner out for a no hitter.
He's a great shortstop.
It's like five guys in the stands.
Yeah.
And my dear friend Phil, who wanted to be a professional umpire but didn't quite make the cut, We used to go to a lot of ball games together. So I will always have a soft spot for the Mariners, but I have become a Dodgers fan.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll discuss that shortly.
Yeah.
Are you happy with Ken Griffey being back with the Mariners?
Well, I mean, it's a nice story, but it's not like he's going to help the team. I mean, yes, I think it's a wonderful thing for the fans in the Pacific Northwest to get a chance to say goodbye to Kenny. But, you know, I mean, back in the day, in three consecutive years, we lost Kenny, we lost Randy, and we lost A-Rod.
Oh, yeah.
And in every instance, you know, the fans had a right to be pissed off. Kenny forced a trade to Cincinnati, and we didn't really quite get value in return. Mike Cameron put in some nice seasons. Randy forced a trade by going into the tank, and then he goes to Houston, and suddenly he's like 12-2 in the second half. And
yeah.
Then A-Rod, say no more. So it's hard for me as a ex-Mariners fan to kind of look too warmly on any of these guys, to be honest with you. I've sort of forgiven Kenny. I still have a bit of a curse. I put a curse on A-Rod when he left.
Yeah, well,
and
obviously that curse
God,
is working.
It worked. Yeah.
It most definitely is.
Yep.
Well, I want to go ahead and take
don't
the first caller.
Ramirez,
oh, I'm sorry?
Though. Don't ask me about Manny Ramirez.
We'll get into that, too.
Yeah.
From the 435 area code, remember, there's a bit of a two-second delay, so why don't you let us know who you are and where you're calling from, because you are live on NDB Radio with John Billingsley. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, this is Thundercracker from Utah.
Hello, Thundercracker.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good. My question to you, John, is what was your favorite episode of Enterprise that you did?
It was probably the first episode in the first season that actually really dealt with the Doctor. I'm not sure if I can remember the name of it. Dear Doctor, does that sound familiar?
I think so, yeah.
The one where he's talking on a tape recorder to his pal. There are a lot of things I liked about that episode. One of them is there was a lovely lady named Kelly Waymire who played my, you know, potential romantic interest. Sadly, we got good friends. She died some months later of a heart disease. Nobody had any idea. Her boyfriend found her dead in the apartment when he came.
Oh, my gosh.
Great loss. But she was a doll. But that was also the first episode where I really got a chance to flesh that character out. I mean, you know, I was the character guy in what is still, when all things are said and done, an action-adventure show. Everybody else gets to pitch woo with the alien babes and get into fistfights, and I'm there to come in and kind of go, blah, 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 blah. So you don't get a lot of turns, you know. You don't get a lot of times in the barrel when you get a chance to actually do something really, really interesting. So the three or four episodes that really featured me are certainly going to be my favorites. The one where they put everybody to sleep on ship except me, and I'm supposed to guide us through the, you know, space anomaly, whatever the hell. I get to run around naked in that episode. I quite like that.
Because I really enjoyed the episode In a Mirror Darkly with the Mirror Universe and the Starship Appliance.
I wasn't crazy about that episode, actually. I sort of felt like I liked the fact that in that season, what's his name, the guy who came in?
Hotto?
Yeah. He was obviously a fan of the original show, and he, I think, really gave us a great shot in the arm by writing a lot of episodes that were callbacks, essentially, to favorite episodes from the original series. And that was certainly one of them. I just didn't think that there was an ending. I sort of thought, boy, a two-parter, and it kind of ended in such a way. It wasn't about anything at the end of the day, you know? I mean, Linda's character turned out to be the uber-villain, which was sort of a nice surprise, but it was a lot of airtime for not a lot of payoff. It was kind of fun, I mean, I think, for all of us to get to, you know, ham it up as villains, but that wasn't one of my favorites. But actually, that was certainly one of the fans' favorites. I mean, I hear that a lot.
Yes,
well,
it turned out to be. I'm sorry?
We got to see a Thoen and a Gorn. That was cool. What I thought was cool about it, too.
That is true. We did get to see some of them. Thundercracker, I want to keep you online right now. I'm not going to hang up on you, but I want to bring in our other caller who's calling from the 713 area code. So, again, caller, you are live, and let us know who you are and where you're calling from.
Howdy from Houston, Texas. This is Zizor.
Hi, Zizor.
How you doing, sir? You're here live with John Billingsley. Go ahead.
Two quick questions, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
First one is, before accepting the role or even auditioning, how familiar familiar were you with the Star Trek franchise?
You know, somewhat. I'd watched the original series when I was growing up. I think I was 8 when it premiered. No, I was 6 when it premiered. So I watched some of them when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, and watched all of them eventually when they were on in syndication in the 70s. And I'd watched some of the Next Generation episodes. But I was not a passionate fan. I never really watched any of the subsequent series, Deep Space or The Voyager. After I got the gig, you know, I tried to familiarize myself with all the shows, and I had a friend who was a huge fan and had an encyclopedic knowledge, so I was able to go to him and say, okay, quick, the Bajorans. Who are they? All right, the whatchamacallits. Who are they? So he kind of gave me the skinny, and which helped a lot. I didn't have time to watch, you know, every episode of every season of every installment of the franchise, so... You know, and there are still great vast holes in my knowledge, God knows. What's the next question?
Second question is, there was a point of contention with the Enterprise series with a lot of the fans that was
just one?
How deeply the show dealt with time travel. And I was wondering if you had any feelings on that premise.
I definitely think that it is. If you overuse that trope, it becomes a bit of a cop-out. I know that a lot of fans sort of have that objection with the movie, although I hear it's getting pretty good reviews. I've not seen it myself. And, yeah, I kind of tend to feel that, you know, a little time travel goes a long way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does give you an opportunity to do things in your storytelling that you know, are simply impossible to do without using that conceit. But having said that, I also thought that a couple of the time travel... I didn't like the whole going back in time to the Nazi era. I thought that was pretty stupid. I did think the episode in which the captain, I can't remember... I'm sorry, I don't remember the names of episodes or sometimes even the seasons. But there was an episode in which the captain... there's an alternate history in which the captain has horrible memory loss, and he essentially has to relive every day the horrible story of how the Earth was destroyed by the Zindi. And I rather liked that episode, and in fact, the episodes I liked, generally speaking, and the episodes that I think for me in the history of Star Trek that have the most interest to me are the ones that dealt with sociological issues. I thought the issue of, for instance, cloning was dealt with very well in the story where they clone Trip.
Right.
You know, does science have an obligation? You know, what are science? I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of what Star Trek is about is that conflict between science and humanism. Is there a conflict? Should there be a conflict? You know, blah, blah, blah. So the episodes that dealt with that, I thought, were always the most intriguing ones.
So you really did not care for A Night in Sickbay then, right?
Well, you know, I did, actually. I recognize that wasn't one of the fans' favorites, but that was fun for me to do, in part because I love working with Scott. And that was the best opportunity I had to actually kind of hang out with him. He's one of the classiest guys in this business.
Actually, it is one of my favorites. I had the opportunity to review that episode when I was writing for the STGN and Sci-Fi Portal for just a short while, and it was one of my favorites, and I'll direct that link over to you in another day.
Oh, thanks. I know it's not popular in part because I think the fans' perception was that it was an episode that didn't show the captain's character off to great advantage. He seemed sort of petulant or, you know, whatever words he would use. but from my perspective, it was interesting insofar it was probably, more than any other episode, the one where some of the Denobulan culture was actually explored. You got to hear more about his backstory, and the comedy, although it was sort of broad, was fun to play. I also rather liked the episode where my wife arrives and she hits on Trip the whole time. And it turns out that Phlox is actually quite titillated by that. That sort of that made me laugh.
That's right. Shazam, go ahead.
Okay, let's see. Next question. I wanted to ask you how your experience was working on 24, and because I think that is one of the greatest shows of all time. When I saw that you were in the in the season premiere and then the first few episodes, I was like, that's amazing. Then I saw you later on, and I thought that was really cool. So,
well, it was fun.
A little bit about that.
Very long, as you know. I mean,
it
blew me to Kingdom Come, and on one level, that wasn't the worst thing in the world because I was covered in blood. I mean, you know, 24. It's
right.
The continuity is such that if you're covered in blood in the first episode, like as not, you're covered in blood for the whole damn thing.
Probably, yeah.
And, since they tortured me by ripping my fingernails out, I had blood all over my hands, which means I couldn't even unzip my own fly or, eat a granola bar. So there was a certain amount of physical discomfort involved in doing that show. And so, although I liked everybody, and it's always nice to collect a paycheck, it wasn't the saddest day in the world when they got off me.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's really cool is that Connor Turnier, if I'm not mistaken, he was in one episode. Is that true?
I think he was. Well, you know, Brandon Braga and Manny Cotto both were writers that season. I think Manny has... I'm not sure if Manny's still there, but Brandon has now got another show. It was picked up this year on one of the networks, so I'm sure he's off 24. Manny may still be there. And they were very, very gracious to us when we were on the show, and I appreciated the loyalty they brought us in. It was one of those situations where they just call and offer you a job, which is very rare. So, that was very nice of them.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see both of you, because I remember he was in one where he played a security guard, but just when I saw both of you, I was like, that's really cool, because that show, I know they have many surprises of the guests that they get for the episodes. It's really cool. So, yeah.
As a matter of fact, let me interrupt, because I got a message from the chat room. Guys, I need a sound check, please, because everything seems to be working on our end, but I need to know if you guys still hear us. So we're going to go and continue. Shadow, please.
Hey, John, I'm also supposed to give you a shout-out from a mutual friend. Mark B. Lee said to say hello to you and Bonnie tonight.
Mark B. Lee. I just took Mark B. Lee's pants off about a week ago.
FedCon it was, I believe.
It was FedCon. Yes, actually, my wife took his pants off, if truth be told.
Wow.
I instigated it.
I've known Mark for, God, almost 20 years now.
He's got nice legs.
He's got nice legs?
I think he has nice legs. Not as nice as mine, but they're perfectly adequate legs.
Well, you know, you now set us up, because now we're going to have to look for them on the Internet and compare them, John.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Now, there are a lot of pictures. Out there. You had to be there.
Let's pull Mark over.
I was in Germany about 6 years ago, and I travel with my wife when I go to conventions because she's the best heckler in the world, and we sort of make a show of it. And 6 years or so ago, for reasons I won't get into, I appeared on stage without my shirt, and my wife heckled me from the audience and said, essentially, for God's sake, don't take your pants off. So when we appeared again this year, I, of course, came out on stage without my pants on, and she rushed up on stage and tried to put them back on. Anyway, it was quite a basically did an extended vaudeville sketch. That culminated in our deciding that it was time to take Mark B. Lee's pants off. See, we were appearing after Edward James Olmos and Nichelle Nichols, and we thought, well, you know, it's time for some lowbrow comedy. Because those guys, bless their hearts, but it's Edward James Olmos and Nichelle Nichols, and it was sort of an elevated kind of dialogue, and that's not my nature. It was plus 11 o'clock on a Friday night, and everybody was liquored up to the gills, so... anyway, there are a lot of pictures out there.
The Manhattans were flying, eh?
No, not in Germany. God, try and ask for a Manhattan in Germany. No, just beer.
Yeah, of course.
I know Manhattans are one of your guys' favorites.
Are
you planning to work with Benita on any projects?
Well, we love to
television
work together, you know, but we love to work together, but somebody... Sadly, in our business, somebody has to hire you first. We had been hoping to get a movie off the ground. We were approached to do a movie together. I'm not sure that's going to happen. It doesn't look as if the guys behind this project are going to get the funding. It's probably premature for me to say one way or the other. But if we have anything coming up, it would be in that realm, the low-budget indie film realm. I don't see anything on the horizon on the TV front. We did do an episode of a show called Fear Itself a year or so ago, a not terribly successful horror anthology series on, I don't even remember what network. And And we talk all the time about trying to do a play together. Both of us started in the theater, and we still like to get back to it every now and again. So, you know, that may happen one of these days.
Now, let me ask you, John. You've done quite a bit of television and stuff like that. You've done some movies as well. Up to now, what has been your favorite, you know, movie, event, or, you know, time on the stage or filming a movie? What stands out as the best right now?
Well, you get, you know, I would, it's a hard question to answer because there are different things you enjoy about different projects. I mean, I loved doing Out of Time because it was an opportunity to work with Denzel Washington. I mean, you know, that's obviously, you know, a pinnacle in terms of, geez, you're working with one of the best actors around.
Mm-hmm.
I probably enjoyed working on Cold Case the most in terms of TV because it was a such a wonderfully creepy part, and they really gave me carte blanche. In the series world, I got to do a show called The Nine, which was somewhat short-lived on ABC a couple of years ago. Only three episodes were made. But it was a great ensemble cast and a fun part, and Alex Graves, who did a lot of work on The West Wing, was one of our big directors, and I adored working with him, probably the best director I've ever worked with. Mm. And on stage, you know, it would be hard to choose, but probably a production of The Seagull, Chekhov's The Seagull, that I did many years ago with a gal named Robin Smith, who was my business partner of sorts back in Seattle. I had a couple of theater companies that I helped to found, and she was one of my partners. She directed a lovely production of that, an extended investigation that sort of spanned many months. We put it up in different stages along the way to invited audiences. That was probably one of the most satisfying acting experiences I've had.
That is cool. I want to take one quick moment and welcome guest 5567 in the chat room. Register at blogtalkradio.com. Take on a persona, be someone, and engage us in the chat room. Jennifer Cole, welcome to the chat room. And, of course, we have Thundercracker in there. I finally showed up in the chat room. OWD, welcome as well. And Will Stape. For those of you that know, Will also wrote a few episodes of DS9, one being, I believe, Profit Motive. And I think the other one was TNG Homecoming.
Oh, cool.
He has a question for you, John. As a matter of fact, he wants to know if you're excited about the movie 2012, directed by Roland Emmerich.
Yes and no. One's always excited if you get to do a feature film that you know is going to get a big release and we'll see a lot of action on the back end, meaning that the residual checks are flowing. It was a $175 million movie. I'm sure the effects spectacular.
Wow.
But, you know, in all honesty, my part, although I'm kind of woven through the film, is not all that dimensionalized. So I'm not, you know, chomping at the bit to go see the work. It's one of those guys who sort of sits in the background and pipes up with a little bit of scientific information upon occasion.
Yeah.
So, you know, as is often the case, you have very, you know, mixed feelings. It's a rare project that you don't say, well, on one hand, this is fabulous. On the other hand, eh. It was a fun process. I mean, you know, it was Oliver Platt and Chiwetel Ejiofor and Sandy Newton, you know, some terrific actors that I got a chance to hang out with. And you know, that was fun.
That's cool to know. And before I go to Shadow, I want to wonder, John, you when you were contacting me via email, you were talking about being live and raw, and you seem pretty tame to me there, John.
Really, because I haven't sprinkled my conversation with repeated motherfuckers and cocksuckers?
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't expecting you. All right, guys, I put the disclaimer out there. I apologize. A little late. I meant
I
to get it in
now,
first.
You kind of asked for that. I mean, you know.
I suppose, and I apologize for when I wasn't expecting it, but it's all good, John. It's just... I was
demanding a cocksucker, for God's sake.
There's a story I wanted to tell you, but I'm going to let Shadow go with it right now because I know he's dying to ask you yet another question.
All right.
Because I have a baseball story to tell you about the word you just used.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's my favorite word, I have to say. You know, they have this thing, the Actors Studio,
Oh, yeah.
A parody on Saturday Night Live, James Lipton.
Lipton? All right.
Yeah, and he always says, what's your favorite word? It's like, well, it's one of the few questions I really could answer quickly. I love the word cocksucker. I think it's a great word. I don't know why. I think it's because on Deadwood, I don't know if anybody out there watched Deadwood on HBO.
Yes.
Ian McShane's delivery of the word cocksucker in all of its variations and all of its nuance and all of its shadings, I think might have been my single favorite most. I just thought that performance, I loved him in that. That's one of my favorite performances ever. In fact, it sort of frustrated me as the season progressed. It's like, I don't want any other villains. You don't need any other villains. Just give me Ian McShane.
Yeah. Shadow, go ahead.
How do I follow up on that one?
Oh, you will. You'll do just fine.
I won. Just using the word cocksucker.
There you are.
There you are. Just work it into your question.
Really, don't do that to me, John. You don't know my mind. Hey, if you had a choice to portray any of the other characters on one of the series, I'm sure you get this asked at the conventions. Which character would you do?
I would be the dog, I think.
Of course,
Porthos. Porthos has the greatest kick in the world, you know? I mean, he basically was fed cheese every time he got his line right.
That's why.
Yeah, and, you know, if he fell asleep in the middle of a take, nobody yelled at him. He could hop in the captain's chair. He could even defecate on the soundstage.
Oh.
And not that he did it, but I knew he could. None of the rest of us could get away with it. Even Patrick Stewart wasn't allowed to just sort of, like, take a dump right there in the bridge. I don't think. I don't know. I shouldn't say that for a fact. I don't know.
Shadow, you think you have it hard now? Following up, I want to go ahead and welcome again Sci-Fi Ian into the chat room. Guys, want to let you know that if you want to go ahead and give us a call, John Billingsley is live with us. Or not, this could be a recording and we just practiced it, but he is live. He is taking calls.
Can you tell I'm on my second martini yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Guys, remember to call us at 914-338-0314. And once you're into the queue, just go ahead and press 1. That'll let us know that you'd like to talk to us. As a matter of fact, we have a caller now, so I'm going to take that one. I have a sneaky suspicion I know who it is. Remember, 2-second delay, and I know your accent is thick, so speak slowly. You're live on NDB Radio with John Billingsley. Go ahead.
Hello. What was this I was hearing about motherfucker and cocksucker?
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Ian.
Welcome, Ian. How are you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm just wondering if anyone in the room can just say wanker backwards?
Wanker? Nope. Wanker, you big wanker. If only Dominic Keating was here.
Oh, if only.
Yeah. I wouldn't get a word in edgewise, but he could certainly go off on that word.
Almost,
in fact,
yeah.
My favorite Dominic Keating story, I know you haven't asked your question, but I just love the story anyway. You know, we had to wear those horrible spacesuits, and they all weighed like 80 pounds, and it was awful, awful. If you had just a touch of claustrophobia, you were miserable inside of it, not to mention the weight. And whenever Dominic had to wear one, I would usually make a point to just show up on the stage just to watch because he was always so miserable. And he would just talk about cursing. I mean, oh, you motherfucking go, I hate that fucker. So the sound guys would tape when he was going off, and they sort of put together a little assemblage of Dominic's greatest spacesuit hits, which they would play to selected guests. They would say, hey, come here, you want to hear this? And they'd put the headphones on, and it would just be Dominic just cursing. I loved him. Anyway, you didn't ask your question.
Well, we're just good with the word wanker here in the UK. It just rolls off the tongue. The question was, you did 4 episodes of True Blood last year, which is that new ringy sort of like a pop vampire thing where nobody can do movies in your accent.
Actually, my latest True Blood script is just arriving at the door.
No.
All right. So you
really?
Yeah.
You heard it here live, folks.
We heard it here live that the next script arrived.
The next script just arrived. I have a nude scene this year. In fact, I had to sign a nudity waiver. That's how desperate they are.
Hold on, wait a minute. What, John, you have to sign a nudity waiver?
I did. I had to sign a nudity waiver.
Well, wait a minute. If we're going to watch, don't we need to sign the waiver?
Believe me, I'll,
kidding,
be averting,
John.
I'll be averting my eyes. I guarantee you. Not only that, I signed a nudity waiver because the scene I was doing in True Blood involved me taking a woman from behind on a rock. Oh, my wife is saying hi.
Oh,
hi, Bonnie.
You know what? Thank you for saying hi. Does she want to come and say hi real quick, live?
Good. Bonnie, you want to come say hi?
Oh, Louise said hi.
But she's waving.
That's beautiful, because doesn't she act as well? Isn't she not a professional?
She's a wonderful actress, yes. She's a marvelous actress. Now she's
nice.
I'm going to see how long I can keep her in the room by talking about her. she's taking my cheese away, and she's eating it in front of me.
You misbehaving there, John?
No, I didn't want my. The rest of, I had enough cheese. Yes, she's a wonderful actress. In fact, she was on one of the episodes of Enterprise. She played.
Oh, really?
The Borg.
Yes.
Rooney, I believe. She was turned into a Borg in another controversial episode.
Oh, okay.
Season two, but she's been in a ton of stuff. If anybody watches Chuck, she is General Beckman on Chuck.
Oh, yes.
And she's been in a ton of stuff. So. In fact, we were very excited because Chuck did get picked up for a third season, although with draconian budget cuts, so I don't think they're going to actually be wearing clothes next year. I'm not sure exactly.
Poor Bonnie.
Yeah, I don't know what the budget cuts. Well, this is my favorite story about Chuck, is now Bonnie's going to have to hear me talk about her if she continues to stand here.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do have a message for Bonnie from Jennifer Cole from the USS Angeles.
Jennifer
She's waving to Bonnie. She says the gang at the USS Angeles really did love having her being at their meeting last year when John couldn't. Oh, maybe I shouldn't.
Oh,
say that
yeah, 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 yeah. It's one of the guys.
John couldn't make it.
One of the gals who was at Gary's house. Isn't technology amazing? One of the gals at Gary's house, Jennifer, says hi, and she was really happy that you showed up that night. I couldn't make it. Yeah, they were all really sweet. They were really fun. That's what Bonnie said.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Was that a gangbang at the USS Los Angeles or something?
It's a fan club, Ian, the USS Angeles. Be nice.
The biggest
I
one I know.
Gangbang.
My gardener's fan club.
Oh.
It's even funnier because the reason we were invited is because it's a guy, Gary, who I hope he doesn't mind being outed as a gardener. Gary is a gardener. Gary the gardener, we've been working with him for a while, and he has a whole room full of Star Trek paraphernalia, one of those giant Borg statues in his front hallway, and yada, yada. So anyway, he is a member of this club, and he asked me to come and attend one of their meetings, and I was out of town, so Bonnie said she'd fill in for me. So it's a small, damned world. I might say it's a small, cock-sucking world.
Oh,
I love the fact that there is no FCC bullshit. See, you know what? You know, I was going along there without a single curse word escaping my lips, and now you've done it.
Roger, what did you do?
Hey, Bonnie, can I have another martini?
I should call to my wife, Maggie. Maggie, may I have a drink?
I just got you on a long, short leash.
I don't drink. I rarely ever drink, John.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the great joys of life.
Look, I'm the ultimate social drinker. Social drinkers look far to the right and say, oh, yeah, there's that guy. I can nurse an MJD for 4 hours.
Oh my God.
I just, you know, I'm convivial.
Well,
I just enjoy people's company.
And you're thin, too, no doubt. You are, aren't you?
Well.
You rat bastard.
I'm a rat bastard, yes, but I don't know if I'm as thin as I was.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you want to be thin, if you're a certain age, you can't drink. I mean, that's
well,
what it comes down to.
I've had to even give up regular Coke soda, too, and I did say Coke soda. I gave that up as well, and, you know.
Coke soda.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not Coke. It's soda.
Yeah, well, I only drink.
I'm having a martini alcohol.
Yes, no, yeah. I'm not having root beer. I'm just having a glass of water.
Was there the British gentleman who called me a wanker? Does he have another question? Does he have a question?
I'm sure he does.
He wasn't really calling me a wanker, I know, but I don't know. Really got a question out.
Well, I was just going to ask. I was just going to ask how he found working with people on True Blood.
Oh, you know, my part on True Blood, to be honest with you, is so tiny. I mean, I hardly know anybody. I come in and I mean, the nice thing is they're paying me more than I deserve. I can say this because I know there are only a small handful of people. This is going to be the goddamn headline in some press release tomorrow. Billingsley says he's getting paid more than he deserves on True Blood. They're paying me more than I deserve for an absolutely nothing part. But sometimes in Hollywood, you know, you take a gig because it pays the mortgage. And there is nothing to this part. I'm hardly ever there. I mean, I've been able to work in a lot of episodes, but in any given episode, I'm there for one scene, and then I split. So everybody seems very nice in passing, but I don't know anybody at all. I know that's the lamest answer. I wish I could tell you stories about how Anna Paquin and I are dancing naked every night, but that's not
true. You know, that's cool. I mean, I can pick up
on
that.
For now, I know. That, the first headline, forget that one. Billingsley says Anna Paquin and he dance naked every night.
Ian does write for scifipulse.net. Oh, so I think that one's going to be on there.
Jesus Christ.
I just saw that.
There's a tape transcript of this, though, right?
Oh, no, there's no transcript. Unfortunately, this will be in the archive forever, John.
Oh, man. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, and there you go. There you go. I'm sure you're going to offend someone by saying that one, too. It's all good. Shadow, I know you want to continue, brother.
Go ahead. I'm
some kind of alcoholic stupor. I'm not the only one who's drinking, huh?
I'm going to go get some new drink. Shadow, you ask, and then take it over to Shazam. I'm going to go get a drink. Excuse me.
I'm going to get a Chardonnay.
A Chardonnay.
To make the
drink, pal.
Well, you know what? It occurred to me. I'm on a phone I can walk around with. I can go get my own damn drink.
I'm doing the same thing.
I love technology. Thank God we live in the modern age.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I know. If we were living back in like in 1843, this thing would suck.
Yeah, and it'd be a rotary dial or something.
Oh,
like,
my God. It would be like, what, the telegraph or something, or smoke signals, and it would be a much longer time lapse.
All right. Oh my God, that's too strong. I only have Gilby's and Don Pedro and Jose Cuervo. That's just not good.
I have about a quarter bottle of a branding act. I've got a cold, so I've just been drinking for medicinal purposes.
Oh, now we sound like a bunch of little kids that are talking about how big it is. We're all talking about our different liquor.
It only took 44 minutes for this conversation to totally fall apart.
It has. Yeah. Shadow, save us.
Yeah. Are all the conversations, are they usually like this? Do they usually just sort of devolve into some kind of sort of like, adolescent?
With our
sure, why not?
Well, which one, John?
I just want to feel like I'm special.
As a matter of fact, a lot of them do lighten up after a while when the guest realizes how we can be. You know what? John, we're just so happy that you're here with us, talking with us. It's just so cool. Obviously, the questions are great, but this is obviously a great conversation because it's just you, man. You know, hopefully we're not asking you any nerdy questions.
No, we're good, right?
No, I don't think so. You haven't asked me whether what did I think about the finale. I know that was one of your questions, and then you kind of squelched it.
Well, that's good. Now we know what to ask and what not to ask. Shadow, I know you're dying. Ask your question, brother.
Well, actually, I hadn't thought of a question, so I'll ask him his opinion on the finale.
Oh,
no, I know. I hated the finale. Everybody hated
really?
It.
Really? Wow.
Although my finale story is not so much about me hating the finale. It's that you'll have a hard time believing this because I'm not very politic right now because the show's been off the air for years and there's no FCC regulations and I'm only talking to a handful of guys, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's a little more than a handful, but anyway.
Well, a handful. I'm not talking to hundreds of thousands of guys, right?
Eventually.
Oh, bullshit.
Okay, I believe you.
No, back in the day, back in the day when the show was on the air, TV Guide comes and interviews you. You know, it's like, so you got to be politic.
Yeah.
And I was pretty good at being politic when somebody's interviewing you for, a major publication and a lot of people are going to read what you're blah, blah, blah. So I was always really good about it. And then the last goddamn episode, they're going around and they're talking to everybody, and everybody is bad-mouthing the last episode. And I'm trying to say, in my politic way, well, although this might not be my favorite episode, I, yada, yada, making excuses, justifying. So, of course, the only guy who's quoted in TV Guide about the last episode is John Billingsley, who says, it's not my favorite episode, making me sound like a real churl and an asshole. It was like, God damn you. and a real lesson in how you really have to mind your P's and Q's. Obviously a lesson I still haven't learned, but...
It's all right. We're not going to write any of it. We'll just say, hey, look, listen to the program, and you'll enjoy it.
Well, and more to the point, nobody really gives a fuck what character actors think. They just don't.
I do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, Catherine Hagel, you know, she just has to open her mouth, and all of a sudden there are 18,000 guys there.
Oh, that's true, Catherine Hagel. Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. She might be up for a Noriega Gal 2009. We'll have to see about that one.
I have to say, for somebody who is as in the public eye as she is, she has an admirable candor.
Yes.
She does not mince her words, which I have to say I sort of appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Megan Fox is very much the same. She says she hates Disney.
Wait, what was that again?
Megan Fox is very much the same way. You know, she comes out, you know, statements such as, you know, I hate Disney. I'm never going to raise my kids watching Disney, and you know, and stuff like that. And I think that's really cool.
No, it is. It's funny. I mean, you sort of either have to be so powerful that you don't have to give a fuck, or you have to be so under the radar that nobody's going to write down what you say. Most
and speaking of not writing down what you have to say, in the chat room, OWD, who's Canadian, does say that he, quote, you didn't call TV Guide a bunch of cocksuckers.
I did not. I never used the word cocksucker in any of my TV Guide interviews that I
got. Just on Tonight's Show.
Yeah,
I have done a number of those EPKs, you know, electronic press kits, where I have been very aware that that's unusable.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, guys, I have a caller coming in from the 818 area code. I know who this is. You're live on NDB Radio. Who are you, lad?
818, you're in my hood, I think.
Yeah,
818? Oh, you are the man.
There you see, John. That's twice in an hour.
I'm the man. I've never been called the man before. I have a record.
I don't mean that in the negative connotation of the man. I mean that in the positive connotation that Roger generally uses for himself as the man.
Cut it out.
Is there a negative connotation? I thought that was always to be taken positively.
These little kids. Carlos, welcome to the program. You're live with John Billingsley. What up, man?
Not so much. It's just a pleasure listening in, man. It's not every day you get to talk to somebody this funny and this cool.
Thank you.
We
get to talk every week.
I'm sorry, Ian. What?
I was just going to say you guys get to talk to me every week. I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know what? We've been very fortunate.
You're not the man. I'm the man. Fuck you.
Johns are the man.
Yeah, and Shazam, I know you're dying for a question. Go for it.
Carlos have a question?
Oh, Carlos.
Yeah, go ahead real quick.
Carlos, he just got started.
Yeah, I know. I work with the guy, so I can tell him what to do. But go ahead, Carlos.
Yes, I mean, that is true. He can tell me what to do.
Good.
Most memorable, what is your most memorable moment in an interview? Quotation. You might have already gone over this. I came in a little late, so I apologize. But
I don't think it's been touched on yet. It's very possible that it's this interview right now. I don't think
I was going to say that
as often in an interview. There's something memorable about that.
Nice.
I did an interview in a men's room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really? Wow.
I was at a convention in Great Britain, and this guy wanted to interview me, and the convention was jammed and noisy and thousands of people, and we went everywhere, and finally we ended up going into a bathroom. People would kind of come in and, you know, walk in and out of the urinals. In fact, you could hear I'm sure if they ever played that tape, you could hear the sounds of people pissing in the background.
Oh,
I also thought it was sort of interesting, the look on somebody's face when they would walk in, and there'd be two guys, you know, a guy with a microphone and me talking into the microphone, you know, just standing in the bathroom.
You know, if you were filming that in Chatsworth, that would be taken into a whole different context.
There are so many things that happen in Chatsworth that actually are their own context. It's true.
Yeah, I know.
Are you calling from Chatsworth?
No, I'm actually from North Hollywood.
But you're kissing cousin to Chatsworth.
Yeah, most definitely. But let's clarify this. You're not from North Hollywood. You're from Michigan, aren't you? You live in North Hollywood.
No, I was born in California, Raj. I lived there for a little while, but I was born in Pacoima.
All right. Oh, Pacoima.
Pacoima. I thought you were talking to me there for a minute.
Wow.
Yeah, you're my neighbor. Ish.
John, I got to say that. I'm
neighbor to anybody in Los Angeles, for God's sake.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, just to give you an idea, John, Shadow is calling you from up north in Seattle. Of course, Carlos is calling you from probably right around the corner. If you see this little guy who's 5 feet tall looking up in through the window, dude, that's not him. But anyway,
I'm
calling
you, man.
South
Get it
area,
right.
Yeah, I was like, Carlos, you don't have to call. You're right here. Just talk to me, man. I mean, and put something
How's it going, man? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, all these people that Roger interviews, I live very close to them. That's kind of cool.
Yes,
you know, it's true. It's because that's where Hollywood generally lives, sir, in the valley. Those are where the nice homes are in the little hills right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That is very true. There are gorgeous homes
but
over
not
there.
In the hills. There ain't no hills in the valley.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why it's called the valley.
That's
yes.
right.
You got to think about that, really.
Yeah.
That's in the valley, bro. Oh, I'm sorry. Couldn't help that.
Hey, Carlos, do you have another question there?
That was my one main question. I'm kind of shocked at the moment that I'm getting to talk to somebody.
You stay with us. I'm sure you'll come up with something. Shazam, did you have another question? And then we're going to go to you, Ian, and then Shadow again.
Yes, I do. But before I give my question, I was going to say that interview in the bathroom, that's classic. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that guy and I actually became pretty good friends. I mean, you know, he's in England and I'm here, so I don't see him. But, he drops me a line every now and again. He was a nice guy.
Good.
I generally stay in touch with the people who I have Congress with in bathrooms.
Okay.
Oh, here's hoping you take that portable phone and you go walk to the bathroom right now.
Try that. My wife and I met. No, I don't even want to talk about that.
Oh!
Oh, God. You got to see
that new toilet paper? No.
Well, this definitely came out of the water closet, so that's all good.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys, but my friend OWD just said in PM. He says he was interviewed in the men's restroom. Hope that was a mic he was talking into.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's geeky.
Okay, we've definitely gone to places where none others have gone before. You obviously know there are no FCC restrictions. Well, okay there. Before we go back to Shazam, Shadow, you ready with another one? Because I know I have a few.
Oh, wait, I didn't ask my question yet.
Are you ever?
Yes, I am. I just was making that comment, but we went off. That's
go.
Cool. Mr. Billingsley, I was wondering, what was your first acting job ever?
I can't believe that you're still calling me Mr. Billingsley.
Do oh, Mud. Sorry.
Mudhen, that's right. What,
Mr.
gentlemen?
Billingsley. Yeah,
you're
Mudhen.
Right.
I'd forgotten about Mudhen. Or just... John or any old thing.
Okay.
Apparently,
okay.
I make me feel like.
Hey, you.
Fair enough, gentlemen and ladies. Flash priority message: it's either Mudhen or John. And if you don't call him that, as I've said in the past, we're just gonna bang you out of here.
Oh,
there's
wow.
a story.
I didn't mean to be punitive about it. Good God, it was just an observation. I'm sorry. You can call Mr. Billingsley if you want to.
Okay, John.
Did we forget to mention Roger's a ruthless tyrant? Hey, Roger, how you doing?
Now, wait a second. I want to get back to Shazam's question.
Okay, yes.
Mr. Shazam.
I've had too much Chardonnay already.
Mr. Shazam, what was
yes,
your question?
Yes, sir.
Again? What's your question, Shazam?
Mr. Shazam.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, you can call me John, too, because that is my real name also.
Oh, it's John. Oh,
dude, you outed yourself.
Exactly. Well, I had to this time. His name is John, too. It's a great name. Got to say it.
You know. Oh, you suck up.
Wow.
Hey, it's my name, too.
So,
all right. I'm going to ask
John, what was your question?
Yeah, what was your first acting job ever that you were in?
In the fifth grade, I was cast as Scrooge in A Christmas Carol.
Oh, cool.
I had just moved up from, maybe a year before. I had moved up from Louisiana, so I was this gap-toothed, lisping little southern child. And, of course, the northern children were all going to beat the crap out of you because they can. So I was feeling very... set off from my peers, but I was a big reader even as a kid, and they had a mandatory school audition for the school play, and I was the only one who could read off the page with any degree of, you know, emotion. emotional investment. So I was cast as Scrooge, which, of course, is the lead, and for a brief period of time, I was popular. And then as soon as the play ended, I was right back to being a pariah again. But, you know, that one brief shining moment of glory when I got to actually be on center, you know, in center stage. And that's where it all kind of began.
What was your first one on a professional level, though?
Professional, well, kind of depends upon how you define that. I mean,
Eddie.
The first thing I got paid for was, I think I might have been, 12 or 13 years old. And there was sort of like a PBS show years ago. I don't even remember what it was called. I lived in Connecticut, and it was based in New York. And they would do little dramatizations of troubling incidents that teenagers could get into. And I was in one of those troubling incidents. It was sort of like a Dr. Phil show, you know. They would go, these two children should never have, then they would show it, and then Phil would come on and talk. So I did one of those, and I'm sure they
paid,
you know, $8. But that was the first time I made a dollar for Max.
Okay, cool. Thank
you. Well, you know, looking at your website, it clearly says that Eddie is the first one listed, a character in 7 Hours to Judgment.
Well, on a certain, but that's what I mean. It's sort of like it depends upon how you want to evaluate it. I mean, I got paid to do theater first, but the first, that's how I got my SAG card. Put it that way. No, that's not true either. I got my SAG card doing an industrial for the Bon in Seattle called Helping the Difficult Customer, and I was, you'll be surprised to hear, the difficult customer.
Oh. Well, of course.
I would come in and I would say, "You call this service? I'm outraged. The Bond should never." That they would show to all of their, you know, wannabe sales clerks. I think that was actually that's how I got my SAG card.
Cool.
Now I have a question before I jump on over to Ian.
What am I thinking? No, the porn film I did. That
a porn film?
Really?
That out loud. Sometimes, you know.
Where might I rent this film at? I mean, nothing.
Yeah, it was, you know, not too many people bought that film. Sadly,
really?
Yeah. It was just me and some plush dolls.
Oh, my goodness. So what was the name of the film?
John and Some Plush Dolls.
John and Some Plush Dolls.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's available anymore.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You'll probably find it on eBay.
Oh, WD available in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So basically what you're telling us here is that you were Sylvester Stallone's body double.
Wait, say that again?
You were Sylvester Stallone's body double. In the
Sylvester Stallone's body double? Yeah. I'm Edgar Buchanan's body double.
Yeah, and which one? Rocky 10? Come on, man.
You can't make an Edgar Buchanan joke anymore because nobody knows who he is. This is one of the saddest things about getting old, I find. I was at a party a few weeks back, and I made some, like, father knows best joke, and it was like, you know, you can hear crickets. It's like, get the fuck out. Everybody's 25. Nobody knows who Edgar Buchanan is. Nobody saw Father Knows Best. Nobody even knows there was a Second World War, God forbid.
I know there was a Second World War. Were you alive for it, John?
You didn't know who Edgar Buchanan was, did you?
I was staying here silent. I'm trying to down the Chardonnay right here. It's affecting me.
Yeah, do you know who Edgar Buchanan is?
Hey, Roger, that's mine.
No, I had the Chardonnay.
Roger,
and I'm I'm trying to avoid the answer.
You don't know who
Children.
Edgar Buchanan is, do you?
I couldn't type quick enough. The Chardonnay is messing up my coordination right now.
Andy Devine. You know who Andy Devine is?
Andy Devine, that name is familiar.
Edgar Pangborn, do you know who Edgar Pangborn is?
Yeah, the hell is that?
Oh, my God.
Okay, look, I recognize the other two, but I don't remember Pangborn.
These are Eugene Paulette. What about Eugene Paulette?
Paulette? I know that name.
What was name me a movie that Eugene Paulette was in.
You know, I said I knew the name.
Oh,
the Chardonnay's affecting me. Leave me alone.
Can I tell you, this is what character actors, this is going to be my fate in 40 years. People will mention my name. They'll go, who?
No, sorry.
They will.
No, you are forever
Eugene,
on Star Trek.
No,
it's done.
Oh,
your history is Star Trek.
I was on the show that killed the franchise.
You didn't kill the franchise.
I did.
That's
all my fault.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you know, now we have a bleeding heart right here. Oh, woe is me.
I want to say one more thing about
sure.
Has anybody seen the movie The Lady Eve?
I'm not even going to bother to answer that question. I already got slammed by you.
Oh, my God. Everybody who's listening, however many thousands of people that might be, The Lady Eve by Preston Sturges, any of the movies by Preston Sturges, The Miracle at Morgan's Creek, The Great McGinty, I'm drawing a blank, but he did like 7 or 8 incredible, classic screwball comedies in the 40s, Sullivan's Travels, and some of the most wonderful, William Demarest. Surely you know who William Demarest is. Oh, my God.
I think we heard some crickets.
Oh, my God. I'm so old.
You're not old, sir. I mean, I'm 40. I'm right there.
I'm so old, but you don't know who Edgar Pangborn, Eugene Paulette, William Demarest.
I promise upon the bottle of... What the hell am I drinking? Wild Vines Peach Chardonnay. I swear upon this bottle that I will find out who they are.
Jesus.
I'll name you three that he was in.
Go watch the movies by Preston Sturges. That's all I ask you. The Palm Beach Story. Anyway, all right. Moving on.
What? What, Shazam? It feels kind of warm. What?
I'll name you a movie Eugene Paulette was in. I'll say The Golden Arrow.
You were looking it up on the internet, cheater. You suck.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Hey, Mr. Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a very good movie.
And the other one that is what was it, with William Powell and Gene Harlow, the one where Gene Harlow, during the Depression-era movie, My Man Godfrey.
Free, that's it, exactly.
Okay, that one I know, even through this drunken haze.
He was Gene Harlow's dad in My Man Godfrey. He's a big fat guy with a little froggy, croaky voice. You know, he talked like this.
Ah.
He was just wonderful. I don't know how we got started on this. Oh, you said I was Sylvester. The British guy. What's the British guy's name again?
Ian, or
Ian.
Wanker.
Sci-fi Ian.
Yeah.
He will forever be known as Wanker now.
All right, if it's easier to call him Wanker.
You know, I beg of you, don't call me by my middle name, okay? You know?
By the way, guys, OWD, our resident Canadian in our chat room, says that John... talk about a suck butt. Anyway, John was the best part of Enterprise. If not for him, I would have been canceled. Oh, I'm sorry. It would have been canceled before the second season. Well, there you go.
OWD is clearly in his cups, but I appreciate that. Now, OWD is the writer. Is that right?
No, that was William State, but he got an emergency call. I'm like, dude, we got John. I'm sorry. We got Mudhen with us.
A likely story.
I know, and I have another caller calling from the 325 area code. He's not asking to come in, but I'm bringing him in. So, caller, you are live on NDB Radio with John Billingsley.
Oh, my God. Am I really on?
You're really on. You weren't asking to be on, but
you wasn't.
Join the party.
I was going to push one, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to push one. Oh.
Now you're on, baby. Now you're on. Now you got to perform. What do you got?
Oh,
oh my God.
Ask me a question.
Oh, my God, it's John Billingsley from Star Trek. Oh, my gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Raimi.
I got to talk to you.
We haven't said anything yet. We haven't talked yet.
And, you know, how is life? I mean, how are you doing? I didn't get to catch the first part of the show. I've been out.
How is life? I like that. That's a nice question. I like that. There are a lot of ways I could take that question. Life is good. I'm happily married. I've got a nice house. I'm paying the mortgage. I like my friends. I'm reading a good book.
Good.
Okay. My cat just had to have a cancerous tumor taken out of her gut. That's not so good. What else?
Well, it's good that it's taken out.
Bad news. The Dodgers are in first place.
Yes.
Oh. I cannot believe you're a Dodgers fan. Oh, no.
Well, I live in Los Angeles. What are you going to do? What am I supposed to
do? Dodgers are awesome.
Hey, Raimi, where are you from?
Chicago.
Well, you're probably Chicago.
That's an imaginary territory.
He lives in Texas, for goodness sake.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you're a baseball fan, baseball is like a soap opera. It's my favorite sport because you can get to read about it every single day, almost all year round, and all the intricacies of that huge, you know, 25 guys and 40 guys once you get into the, you know, late season, the minor leagues, It has all these wonderful, tangled storylines. Above and beyond loving the game, I just love the soap opera of it. And there's no way you can follow. I mean, I guess you can if you're internet savvy, but I'm not. I like the newspaper. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I want to pick up the newspaper every morning with my coffee, and I want to read the box scores and read about my team. And, you know, that means you're going to have to kind of, like, find a way to fall in love with your home team. And at first, when the Dodgers were owned by Rupert Murdoch, it was pretty tricky when I got down here. It was like, oh, my God. But, you know, I'm not a huge McCourt fan, but they're actually a pretty good team right now. I think Joe Torre's doing a great job. It's a nice composition. They got a good young, some good young players, good young pitching staff. There have been some tough years for the Dodgers, but I'm behind them. Go Blue!
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Well, that's another question there. If you're so into baseball like that, what do you think about the Manny deal? Can you give us a little aspect on that part?
Ah, Jesus. I know. That was really upsetting and infuriating.
Was it?
That was shocking, yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, it's complicated. What I really think the player, I mean, I'm a big union guy, but I have to say that I think Donald Fair and the players' union, they really need to get out in front of this, and they basically need to, for a period of years, say, you know what, we are going to have the and they're moving in this direction ever since Congress called everybody on the carpet. I think they could go even farther. I think they now need to have a policy that basically says, come in, test us anytime, anywhere. You catch somebody on steroids, and they're out for a year. I mean, ultimately what they've got to do is they've got to create penalties that are so strict and so severe that everybody truly has the fear of God put into them. And unfortunately, it's going to take a few years because look at Manny. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys who were obviously on steroids for years, as I suspect Manny was, and now they're trying to get off. And what Manny was basically busted for was a drug that you take to allow yourself to wean yourself off steroids. So, perversely, he got caught for taking an anti-steroid steroid.
Oh, interesting.
Is my understanding. And it is still a banned substance.
Irony.
Yeah, it is an irony.
And for life.
It's ironic, like, yeah.
There isn't, you know, Jesus, there are so many players now and so many of the great players who have been busted. It's like, if you say, you know, everybody out who was on steroids, you're going to have like one weak hitting shortstop playing the fucking game.
Yeah.
You know, this is just it was a sullied era. And Bud Selig, you know, he's got me going. Bud Selig, I'm sorry, but, you know, he doesn't get to hide behind all of this sort of moral self-righteousness. I remember after the strike year when there was that competition between Maguire and Sosa, who's going to hit the most home runs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was about, you know, these guys have saved baseball. Hoorah, hoorah. And Bud Selig was out there leading the fucking charge. Do not tell me that anybody, you know, who had their eyes open wasn't aware at the time that these guys were steroids.
Exactly, you're right.
Okay, well, I want to go ahead and let you guys know that we have quite a few in the chat room right now. We only have a few more minutes. Hopefully, John's wife won't ask him for dinner anytime soon. We still got 47 minutes or 27, depends on what you're counting. But I'm going to go ahead and go around the chat room, make sure everyone gets in. That way we don't cut everyone off. Shadow, you're still with us. Go ahead, man. And then I'm just going to call everyone out as we go along. Shadow?
Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry, I had to cough there. I didn't have a question, but John, I wanted to thank you for accepting the invitation to be on our show. It's been a pleasure talking to you this evening.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Pleasure being here.
Yeah, but we're not done yet.
No, I just wanted to say on my behalf, after contacting you, thanking you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got a hold of us very quickly, and you were real cool. And especially in your emails. Wow. Talk about colorful metaphors, but that's neither here nor there. Ian, you're back from the pond, buddy. What up?
Oh, I'm good. I just got cut off for some reason there. Did you push the button there, Roger?
No, I brought you back. Had I pushed the button to kick you out, I wouldn't have brought you back in, pal. Carlos. You're lying, Carlos.
I'm joking.
I have a quick question. John, have you done any voiceovers, either animated or non-animated, but where you're not physically present?
or at least any memorable voiceovers that you might want to share?
You know, not a lot, actually. In Hollywood, you really kind of have to, I mean, I shouldn't say this is a rule, but there tends to be, you tend to specialize. There are people who make their living as commercial actors, there are people who make their living as voiceover actors, there are people who make their living as TV actors. I you know, my bread and butter is TV and film, and more TV than film, although I would love to reverse that. So although I have a voiceover agent, and I'll get called in every now and again, I don't really have any kind of a voiceover reputation. And
okay.
In the voice world, they really lean on that. Somebody who is a recognizable voice, who's done a lot of voice work, is likely to be used over and over again, because unlike on-camera work, there's no, you know, there's no sense of overuse. Like in the commercial world, if you do a bunch of commercials, you actually are probably not going to do a bunch more, because you're associated with a particular product by face. In voiceover, it doesn't work that way. So somebody can get to be an extremely well-paid voiceover actor because they've had that success. And it's a pretty hard nut to crack, and I haven't really fought very hard for it. Alternatively, you can be a name actor who's brought in, you know, to be a voice in a major cartoon, but then you have to be a star, which I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are, John. You are.
We beg to differ.
It's me to say, but, you know, in Hollywood terms, I'm not. I'm a somewhat recognizable character actor. You know, ain't a bad thing to be. I mean, it means I'm working all the time. But, you know.
Exactly.
What is a good thing before I go to Shazam is, unfortunately, some Star Trek actors have been typecast. And they were typecast from the very beginning. But you are not, and that has to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. Although I think as much as anything, you know, just to be honest, I think it's because our show was so off the radar. I mean, obviously it had its fans, but even amongst Star Trek fans, we were not particularly well received. And then, you know, insofar as the general population is concerned, if anything, it was more a function of, oh, where have you been the last 4 years? Not, yes, I can't cast you because you are Doc Block. I mean, you go back and you look at the original series, for instance. There were only three networks. So even the lowest rated show on Friday night at 8 o'clock was still getting 20 million viewers. And it was part of the popular consciousness. So for Leonard Nimoy or Bill Shatner, you know, yeah, you're Mr. Spock. But now, with all the cable channels, you know, hundreds and hundreds of channels, if you're not in a big breakout show, you can be on a cable show or even a network show, and most people aren't even cognizant of it. So it's, in a way, it's a lot easier because you're much less susceptible to typecasting.
Right.
You know, the drawback is it's also a hell of a lot harder to be in a real hit. You know, because there are fewer and fewer real hits because the audience is so fragmented.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Even for us. I mean, there's just so much for us to choose from.
Yeah.
It is really unbelievable. And then my wife asks me, hey, so what do you want to watch? Hell, there's nothing on TV. We have DirecTV. And we have 200 channels to choose from, and yet there's nothing on television.
And also you have, you know, I mean, the world has changed so much, you know, between TiVo and DVD.
Oh yeah.
Watch what you want to watch when you want to watch it. You go back, you know, I mean, some of that is wonderful, but I always consider that, you know, back in 1968 when Walter Cronkite came on and said, in essence, I don't believe the Vietnam War is working, and it totally changed America's perception of the Johnson administration. Johnson said, I'm not going to run for re-election. Walter Cronkite came out against me. I mean, the idea that anybody, any show, any television personality, anyone in the whole spectrum of media would have the ability to make such an impact these days, we're living in such a different world, it's inconceivable now.
Yeah, that is so true.
You know?
I remember just a little bit of that when, well, we all felt the earthquake here in Southern California, or most of us did, but whenever there was a disaster here in Southern California, people would tune in to the face that they recognized, and for us, for the longest time, it was Hal Fishman. Do you remember him, John?
Yeah. He was a great newscaster, pilot also, and he's been around for a long time. And I remember when he passed away, it was.
He wasn't one of my favorites per se, but I know that people go to recognizable image, or they used to.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, things have changed. Like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Walter Cronkite. It's just incredible, and I'm slurring his words. I won't tell you why.
Yeah, well,
this is him.
Now, you know, I mean, that's you know, I mean, there are many aspects of it. One of them is political. The idea that, you know, everybody gets their news from their own source. People who are of the left want to go to MSNBC. People of the right go to Fox. I mean, back when I was growing up, it was ABC, NBC, CBS, and the whole concept was that there was no such thing as a slant on the news. It was such a revelatory event when Walter Cronkite actually essentially issued an opinion. I mean, that was news in its own right.
Yeah.
Now, news and opinion, I mean, one, the boundary has been totally blurred, in essence, and two, you don't really, if you don't choose to, have to ever listen to a so-called objective point of view anymore. You can get your news from, I've got a message from my wife. 10 minutes we've got.
10-4.
You know,
okay.
You can get your news from the source that you feel is politically compatible with you. It's, I don't know, good things and bad things come out of all this, but it's amazing the changes.
It is. All right, guys, we're going to make it quick. Shazam, go.
You got it. Okay. John, I was going to ask you, how do you like going to conventions and how is the fan reception?
The fans have been great to me. I mean, you know, I dig it. I go to a lot of conventions. I mean, I always have to put my work, my real work, first. And that means that there have been a couple of instances where I've had to bow out of conventions at the last minute, which I always feel terrible about.
I understand.
And I have to be fairly selective about what I go to, particularly between essentially mid-July and mid-April. April, May, June, early July, that's sort of the off period in Hollywood. You know, not as many movies are being made and very little television is getting made. So I try and focus on those months if I'm not going to do a play for a convention going. But I always dig them. And as I say, Bonnie always comes with me, and we try when we can to kind of make a vacation out of it. It's been a great perk, though. I've, you know, gotten to Australia and New Zealand and Europe and England a couple times and, you know, all over the country. And the folks are always really, really nice. But I dig it. I mean, I like meeting people, and I'm always happy to hang out in the bar afterwards. So, you know, I've seen some of the folks who go to the conventions who sort of, you know, hunker down over the autograph signing table and never raise their head and never say hi and, you know, sort of secrete themselves in their room. And I wouldn't feel too good about that. I mean, that feels like you're sort of, you know, taking advantage of people. I think they're you know, as much about getting a chance to say thank you for the support and thank you for buying me a house, you know, basically, as anything else. Having said that, though, I, like any other actor, have my stories.
That's cool. You know what? We have another caller from the 231 area code. I know you didn't press the 1, but if you want to come on in, who are you and where are you calling from?
Come in.
Hi, Roger.
Yes?
Roger, do you know who this is?
Oh, yes, I most definitely know who this is. You're live with John Billingsley of 24 and Enterprise. How are you? Thanks for coming in on our program.
Oh, I'm doing good.
Yes. So, do you have any questions for John right now?
I actually wanted to know how long, I don't know, maybe you covered it, I came in late, but how long did the makeup take for Enterprise?
Oh, yeah, good question.
It took about 2.5 hours to put on in the morning, which is normally not that onerous because I could listen to classical music and the guy who did my makeup, Brad, was always
very good.
Fence, so I could, you know, read while it was happening and I would sort of duck and he would duck and we'd manage to navigate between us. The only drag was occasionally Monday mornings if I was first seen up. That means 7 o'clock rehearsal. I would have to come in at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh.
If I had to work a full day, It means, you know, a normal day is about 12 hours, but sometimes you do overtime, which is 14 hours. You tack 2.5 hours on to that, that's 16 and a half hours. And then it takes an hour to take off, that's 17 and a half hours. And then it takes an hour, you know, half hour either way. So
right.
At home. So that's an 18 and a half hour day.
Wow.
So those 18 and a half hour days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine what that is. Before I go to Raimi, I have to follow up with Raimi. I have two cheap shots from the chat room.
All right, give me a cheap shot.
Jennifer Cole wants to thank you. She says, thanks, John, for doing Roger's show, which I guess is me. Hopefully soon you can come to a USS Angeles meeting and make up for dissing them.
I didn't diss them. How did I diss them?
Well, they say because you actually had a job and you had to go to it. So that was just from Jennifer.
I had a job.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a paying gig. And then, of course...
Put him on the money.
Exactly. And then OWD says, huh? What? What up? He wore makeup? That's another cheap shot, but that's all good. Hey, Raimi, come on, man. And then Ian, let's go.
Long tongue with my own as well.
Because I'm going with the last one, John. I was wondering, what is your process of getting into a role? What do you do?
You know, the long answer to that would be a long answer. So I'll give you the short answer. It's essentially you talk to yourself, and you sort of talk to yourself as if you are that character, and you ask yourself a lot of questions. It's like a little Socratic dialogue you have with yourself, you know. Why do I do this? Why do I think this way? What happened to me in the past that has led me to make these choices? And you flesh out the backstory, you flesh out your point of view, the way you see the world. I had an acting teacher years ago who said essentially it's about putting on rose-colored spectacles. The way you envision things is predicated on an understanding of where you came from and what your history is, and it affects the way you view situations. So you just have to kind of figure out a way to get into the point of view. Once you figure out the point of view and you figured out what your character's, you know, essential take on things is, if you can find some kind of either physical or vocal, I won't say affectation, but if there's a behavioral signature that helps kind of put that across, that isn't going to be too heavy-handed, you can bring that into play as well. Although generally speaking on television, you really want to work from yourself. Stage requires a considerable more degree of artifice that way, more elaboration. In TV, it's generally figure out what the guy wants, why he wants it, why it's important to him, and then trust that it comes through your own, you know, unique voice and unique body.
Ian, go, and then Carlos, if he comes back, and then we're going to finish it off with Shadow. We've got about 2 minutes, so guys, make it quick.
Okay, this is a real quick one. How did you find working with Denzel Washington in the 2002 movie Out of Time?
Well, he's an amazing actor. I mean,
yes, he is.
You know, as is often the case when you're working with big stars, they have an entourage, they have... and I understand this because, you know, imagine what it would be like if you can't stick your head out the door without the paparazzi descending, without fans descending, without, you have no private life. So they're very protective of their private space. So you don't get to know them very well. I mean, it really is a matter of, you know, you work with them, period. When the cameras are rolling, it's great. And then when the cameras stop, they kind of disappear. But when the camera was rolling, it was great. I mean, he's very improvisational, and, you know, a lot of my dialogue in that movie I made up, and to a certain extent it's because he afforded me the space to do that. Having said that, Carl Franklin, who was the director of that movie, was a real champion for me, and he's ultimately the one who fought the studio to cast me. I mean, really, in Hollywood terms, I'm a nobody. I appreciate that folks who may like the Star Trek franchise or have seen me on TV might not realize that, but in Hollywood terms, I have no movie credibility whatsoever. And Carl Franklin really went to bat for me. And to be honest with you, Denzel Washington is the one who essentially put the kibosh too on hiring names, in part because he didn't want another name in the movie. for reasons I won't go into. And so, you know, confluence of events, I got to be in a, you know, decent-sized part in a movie, and you'll notice there aren't too many other movies in my resume where I've had that opportunity.
Mm, yeah.
Carlos, come on, got it quick. This might be, this is you and Shadow. Come on, guys. Carlos? Okay, I lost you. Shadow, come on, let's finish it up.
Okay, John, here's a good one I'll throw at you. Can you give us a humorous moment or a practical joke that may have occurred on the set with Enterprise?
Beautiful question. That's going to keep him for the next 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Well, let's see. Humorous
good question.
Moment. I can tell you the scene in which I had to be in the that chamber where you take all your clothes off, the medical.
Decontamination chamber.
Decontamination chamber, yeah. I had one episode where I had to spend the entire episode essentially in the decontamination chamber with T'Pol.
Oh, yes.
Most people would think, oh, boy, what a victory, what a celebration. But I can tell you that, here's my call, so I'll make this my last story.
Yeah.
Yes, I have to tell you that she is the gassiest girl in Hollywood.
Wow, that's even...
We started the evening talking about cheese eating. For those of you who weren't here, I was eating some cheese. And
oh, perfect. Really fitting.
Cheese eater in town, I got to tell you. She would, yeah, my wife is in the other room saying pot calling the kettle black. But yeah, she would walk around with, like, this giant bowl of cheese cubes. So, you know, as much as one might think, oh, joy, I get to be in the decontamination chamber with a scantily clad vixen, it was kind of hellish.
I can imagine.
Joke, but it was a story I like to tell about Jolene because...
That's not something that one would expect.
Not something that one would expect. And now I have to go eat my dinner. And,
John, thank you.
My pleasure.
John,
oh,
thank you very much
great.
For coming. I appreciate it. I'm a pretty big fan of yours.
Thank well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I've realized that my handle in the future should be cocksucker, not...
We'll talk about that one. Thank you, John. You have a wonderful evening. Thank your wife for lending us, her lending you to us.
I shall indeed.
Have a
thank
good dinner.
You,
my pleasure.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night. Long and prosperous.
Oh, my
well,
God,
Ron.
There,
oh there we are,
God.
Guys and girls.
Wow.
Still here. I tell you, that is obviously one of the best. I want to thank everyone who's been with us. We're still scheduled for about another 30 minutes, so I know we could still stay on.
Yeah.
Just talk it up, mess around, do whatever. But I want to thank everyone that's called from Ian, Ramey,
yes,
Carlos, you know, Shazam, you know, Shadow over to my left, Shazam over to my right. I mean, it's been great, you know. And, of course, who else can I be forgetting? I mean, oh, my goodness, from the 231 area code, who could that be? I mean, is it obvious that I lower my voice in such a manner all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, gentlemen and ladies, when she sang happy birthday to me, I wanted to die.
Oh, Roger.
No, Ramey, don't do what you did last time.
No, I'm going to say, I got to tell you something real quick.
Chat room's open.
Yeah,
chat room is open.
Yes,
no, you need to refresh your chat room so you can get with everybody else.
I know. I'm having that problem, too, in the last few shows. I've had to refresh it a few times.
Yeah, they've been telling me that some stuff's been going on in the chat room, and I do apologize.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I'm alone in my chat room now. What the hell is that supposed to be, pal?
I only see three other people. I'm going to have to refresh her, then.
Yeah, they
everybody
need to
refresh.
Talk about, because I had it on Sunday with my show as well. It's just kept happening.
Well, I keep hitting refresh, brother, and there's nothing in there.
Wait for us to catch up, Roger. We're going to catch up here in a second. Just wait.
You see
awesome.
What's
right there.
You see what sucks about refreshing is then when you come back in, it doesn't show you've been in there that long, but then you can see what you've said. So.
Yeah, well, Shazam came back in, my loyalist. But anyway, Melanie, I'm glad that you joined us right here. It is awesome. So what'd you think? How long were you listening into the program?
Oh, for quite a while, actually. And he's amazing. He is amazing.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, you know, according to him, he's an amazing cocksucker, too, so, you know.
That was cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I have to tell you, when he sent me an email, and I don't believe I'm violating anything, but he asked me, so what are the FCC limitations on this? What FCC limitations? You can do whatever you want. He says, okay, Raj, no problem, you old cocksucker. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yes, I love it.
I haven't even spoken to him yet, and it's going to go. And you know what? He's terribly funny. I know, Jen, I do apologize. I didn't tell him that you were just kidding. I know you were kidding, but oh, my goodness. Oh, there's everyone in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm seeing more now that it refreshed, yes.
Everyone is in there. I guess I feel real fresh now. Tricky Kim just came into the chat room. I hope you were listening. We just finished up with John Billingsley. You guys heard it live. Wow. What an interview. Wasn't he a great conversationalist?
He was.
Oh, my
was,
God.
Yeah, say.
Thank you, Roger, for getting him on the air. That's so rock, guys. You guys rock.
Okay, look, I really want to take thanks for that, but hell no, I can't. The man to my left, the man up north. Shadow, he is the man.
Shadow, you're the man. Thank you very much for helping make this possible.
Yes.
Shadow.
I hadn't laughed so hard in my life in quite a while there.
Yes. In my opinion, he is probably the best guest we've had, and I'd say this has to be one of the best interviews. It was hilarious. I haven't laughed so much on this show yet. That much. It was, yeah, oh.
Well, Shazam, you're 100% right. I have to tell you that being on the program with some of the other writers, too, oh, you know what? We got to give them props, too. They were great.
Of course.
But, yeah, John is a whole different character, and it's amazing. I know in the future he will be back with us. I want to give a shout-out to Laker Fan. I hope you caught it. Is it Downtown Hash Brown? I've seen him in so many of the programs. I never asked him. And I'm assuming it's a him, so I think I'm screwed on that one. OWD is in here. Oh, is that Wes?
That's Wes.
Oh, hey, Wes. Welcome to the program, man. Talk about it. I didn't even know. And OWD again, thanks for being with us. Trekkie Kim, thanks for making it with us here. Fantasy is not reality. Oh, my goodness. And she also made it as well. And that's a she, kids. Shazam, Sci-Fi Ian. And, of course, some other schmuck by the name of Noriega.biz. I know Carlos called. Don Polanski called earlier. And Thundercracker. Guys, this is awesome. I'm glad you came in and spend the time with us.
He's
a character. And think about it. He held court with all of us.
Yeah.
I know.
It was a good roundtable, yeah, definitely.
I'm telling you, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I've got to hang up now. I'm about to sneeze, and I don't want to sneeze into my microphone. I've got a bit of a cold, as you can probably tell, so I'm going to hang up now, and, you know, I'll just listen to you guys with John.
Okay,
thanks, Ian. You know, take it easy. Hey, guys, I want to take a quick little break right here. I'm going to play it, and just to remember, I'm going to play it for a few seconds.
My time is finally here, and I can feel the change in the wind right now. Nothing's in my way, and I'm not gonna hold it down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down, 'cause I've got faith of the heart.
You guys all remember that song.
Such a good,
yeah.
Good theme song.
It is great. I played it just before he came on. He was great. I have to tell you, the interview started before the interview started. I'm like, John, why are you telling me all this? But he was great. I have to tell you that when he spoke to me just a few minutes before the program going live, he said, "Well, guys, I'm with you for as long as you guys want me to be, till you get tired of me." I'm like, what? I think it's the other way around.
No, even before we heard him speak, or had the conversation,
Yeah, it was great stuff. And, of course, now in the chat room, I'm now seeing the round table.
Yes.
So it's great stuff. So, you guys, we got about 21 minutes left. We did well on our time. I don't know, you guys want to talk it up about the movie? You want to, and if John does listen to this in the recording to hear how well he did, this is a time to close your ears, John, because we might be talking about the movie now. Anyone want to bring anything up? Commentary? Whatever.
I'd like to say one thing against the movie. I just want to say that John was talking about himself before about. I think he was being modest about himself because I think I personally think he's a big name, and He's a very good actor, and he's done a lot of good roles. But, yeah, like you said, I know he has done character roles, but you know what? A lot of those times, those are memorable roles, and you remember those actors, because I know a lot of character actors through history, and I know that face right away, you know? So, but, hey, I got to say, he's very talented. So, but anyway, about the movie, I just, you know, I encourage everyone to see it. It was really good and interesting story, so, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Shadow, you there with us?
Yeah. I was going to comment. Now I lost my train of thought for a second there. We got, as Roger knows, we got a few more coming down the pike. You saw my email today, Roger.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I'm going to open up my email again. Did you want to go and list them, or do you want me to go down through the calendar?
Well, we got, we're hoping we're going to get the Starship Intrepid on the show toward the end of this month. And that's going to be a Saturday show. We're going to do that, we're playing, 11 o'clock Pacific time?
Yeah, I think that's the time we're going to end up doing it.
And then we got, God, I know I can't, I got some other people in the works that are not in the schedule as yet.
Yeah, guys, we can only tell you that John Billingsley is just the start. For those of you that were here with us yesterday, you know we interviewed Lawrence Montaigne, who played Decius and Ston in the original series, and he came out in the movie The Great Escape. I know it was difficult to hear him, but it is a good interview. Put the mics or the earpieces on, and you'll listen to him. You guys, we got a lot of stuff coming up. Our Terminator Salvation is on the 21st, our special, the movie, and I'm hoping Raimi can join us for that one. I know it's going to be on at 7 o'clock Pacific time before he starts his program. We're going to have a special California election issue just for California folks, so if you guys want to listen in, see how screwed up our budget is, tune in tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to have a paranormal conspiracy theory. And guys, breaking news, it looks like Tucker Smallwood will be joining us once again, and he will be co-hosting the program on the 26th. So it's going to be
God.
Nice. Yes.
It's going to be Com Fox. It's going to be Angel. You all remember her from the last conspiracy theory, and Tucker Smallwood. Right now we're playing it by ear. He says he wants to be on the program, and it's just a matter of having a paying gig or not. So I can safely say that Tucker Smallwood will be joining us on the 26th.
Great, and that works out because I remember he was mentioning things like that from that subject matter when we interviewed him. So that worked out. Yeah,
if you guys remember that interview, oh my goodness. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Trekkie Kim. I know she came back, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for being in the program with us. It was great fun. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to call in, but maybe you'll be able to do it next time. Wow, the chat room is just packed with people, guys. I'm thankful. As I said, Wes, Melanie is here, Ian, Raimi, Laker fan is here. He's my co-host on our Saturday programs. Guys, we're starting a Saturday our sports program is going to go at 6 o'clock in the morning Pacific time now, starting the 31st of May, and we're going to be starting a small sports program 8 o'clock Pacific time on Mondays and Thursdays for 30 minutes. That's going to be in June. So stay tuned to the schedule. That's coming up. Joke night is on June 2nd. 2 hours of jokes, guys. You call them in. You mail them. You tell them. And I'll be glad to tell that story. Hey, guys, I wonder if Raimi is still with us. But I know Melanie is. Are you not?
I am.
Oh,
yeah, I'm still here.
Do you mind? Oh, Raimi, you're still here?
Cool.
Yeah.
Can I tell that joke again?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, guys, you all know, and women, there are four types of orgasms, do you not? Raimi, do you know how many orgasms there are?
That's a good joke. I love that joke.
Okay, there's four of them, right? Well, okay, here they are. You know, there's a positive one, a negative one, a religious one, and a false one. And I have to tell you that this time, you know it's a positive one when your partner is like, oh, yes, oh, yes. You know it's a negative one when there's like, oh, no, oh, no. And you know it's a religious one when they're saying, oh, God, oh, God. And you know it's a false one when they say, oh, Shazam, oh, Shazam.
Thank you. You're right, Roger, but anyway. I'm a Trekkie, so no women, right, for me?
Oh, God. Oh, that even did even more harm than I could have done. You know what? I got to tell you, when I pulled that joke on Raimi, he was a great sport, man. He was a great sport. That's why I couldn't pick on him again. He was a great sport on that one. But continuing with the schedule, guys, on the 7th, we're going to have a conversation with Richard Ratty. As a matter of fact, I think he's calling us right now. So, hey, hold on a minute. Let me see if I can play with this, the controls. Let me see. And you are live on NDB Radio.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Richard. What up, homie?
What's up, boys?
How is life,
girls,
man?
Enjoying the show up here. You know,
I appreciate that. Hey, I have to tell you guys that Richard is a writer for Mission of Mercy, which is set to premiere very soon. And he's a writer. Oh, my God. There went my calendar and there went my wine. Oh, man.
What?
Yeah, there's a big
your
mess
wine.
Here.
What kind
yeah,
of wine?
Yeah, Chardonnay. Can't you tell how stupid I am? Mm. It's the wine. It's Lyle Vines, Peach Chardonnay. Anyway, I apologize, Richard. I've been getting stupid here. But we're going to be interviewing Richard on June 7th at 7 p.m. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be having a music review. The Mixmaster Mike is back. M to the third and M cubed will be with us on June 9th. 2 hours of just music, music, music. And gentlemen, the only PhD in the world of Star Trek, female that is, Celeste Yarnell will be joining us on June 15th.
Nice.
Star Trek Phoenix will be joining us on June 21st. Our Transformers special will be on June 23rd. And just announced William Leisner, who is going to be with us on June 29th. That's a Monday. Lots of stuff planned. Margaret Wander Bananos on July 5th, writer, and royalty himself, William Wellman Jr., will be joining us on July 19th, our Sunday night program. And
hey,
Melanie,
Roger.
I want to nominate you right now, Melanie, for Noriega Chica 909.
Aw, thank you.
Hi.
Oh, you're in, baby. You're in. Oh, I mean, we're going to nominate you. Oh, God.
Roger, you're horrible.
I'm sorry. Richard, was that Richard or Shadow that called me?
That was Shadow. I got another name I can throw out there. We do not have a date confirmed as yet, but we do have another celebrity that's wanted to do the show,
oh,
and that
really?
Would be W. Morgan Shepherd, who played the One-Eyed Klingon in the 6th movie, and he was one of the Vulcan Council members from the newest Star Trek movie, and Ira Graves from TNG. He will be doing the show in the near future.
Nice.
So there you are, guys. Mr. Shepherd is going to be joining us as well. We just haven't been able to pin down the date, just like we have for so many others. I have to tell you that Shadow is in contact with just so many people, and it's just a matter of getting them on calendar. And we probably would have been able to schedule them already, but, you know, Roger and all his wisdom and stupidity doesn't want to do the program every day. So there you are. God, I've had too much to drink.
Yeah, yeah, oh, Roger.
I'm sorry, what?
I said you probably have.
Here, let me take another hit of the... What the hell is this?
Chardonnay?
Peach Chardonnay.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Served chilled. Screw that. Well, look, I was shamed into drinking by Mr. John. Who the hell
John doesn't have any shame.
Oh, John Billingsley, yes.
What?
I was shamed by John Billingsley.
You didn't need to shame.
Yeah, like I ever drink. So anyway. Yes? Where the hell's everyone?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Hey, Raimi.
Everybody
yeah?
Up?
What up, homie?
What up, dog?
Hey.
Are you, like, feeling good right now?
I'm feeling pretty damn hot.
Yeah, after all that, yeah.
We're in trouble.
So, I got to ask you, Roger. So, are we doing the review on Friday or Thursday for Terminator Salvation?
We're going to do a special for Terminator on Thursday, an hour before your program, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, because I'm going to the movie on Friday for sure, do my review Friday night.
And I would like to be on your program after that because I intend to see the movie as well. Is that cool, bro?
Hell yeah.
All right, everyone, remember, the Raminator, the Raminatrix, no, the Raminator has his program at, help me out here.
Yeah, the round table, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Woohoo! Hey, and it's at blogtalkradio.com/ the round table with the effervescent, you figure that word out. Effervescent Melanie. And
yes.
Oh, God, I know her name. Oh, God, hold on. Epic Boredom.
Cassie.
Oh, God, how can I not forget that? I mean, how can I remember? Oh, yeah, whatever. Cassie. Oh, I'd say Raimi is the man. He's surrounded by two beautiful women. And not only are they beautiful, but they're intelligent. How the hell did that happen?
Exactly. Awesome.
I've been begging my coworkers to come on my program, and the closest I can get is, when are you doing a program?
Oh,
go to hell. Anyway.
Poor Roger.
Well, we've got about 10 minutes left.
Another drink.
And I don't know if Wes wants to give us a call, or OWD, or who the hell's else in the chat room? I don't give a damn. Anyway.
Hey, guys. Have another drink, Roger. You'll be okay.
I finished the bottle, dude.
Oh, wow.
How long did it take you to drink it?
Well, from the time we started drinking. It was it was 25.4 ounce. Oh, my God. Too bad my
wife. Roger said he was nervous at the beginning in the chat room, so he probably downed that quick.
So anyway, Shadow. What up, man?
Hey, I might be able to line up a guest for you guys for the Terminator special.
Really?
I know somebody that worked on the movie.
Sarah Connor?
Cool.
I know a guy that worked in the makeup. He did the makeup for Terminator Salvation.
Oh, sweet.
I cannot guarantee I can get him, but I can send him off an email and see if you want to get it. Roger's email. Give you my email, and I'll try to get a hold of the guy for you.
Okay. Then we'll do that. So what the hell am I supposed to do?
I lost track. Is it Rainy with the Terminator show?
No, I'm the one with the Terminator show.
Roger's doing it.
Excuse me.
Roger's doing the show. I'm just doing a review on it Friday.
He's doing a review for it on Friday, which we're all going to be on and talk galore about the movie. But Raimi was hoping, I was hoping that Raimi would come on and we're just going to talk up the Terminator and have a good time on there.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Melanie, I recognize your voice. They're all men. Believe me, when you laugh, you stand out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, OWD says he can't make the call. I'd wake the wife and you guys would hear me get my ass kicked on the air. Oh, dude, call. I'm going to get my ass kicked. OWD, call. My first impression made would be all of you hearing me scream, help!
Can't be as bad as having John's cocksucker.
Oh, I know. That was classic, and I kind of initiated that one. That was funny.
Yeah, Roger, look what you did.
John was Emily Post until I said, yo, what up, dude? What was about that FCC? Whatever. Thingy.
Thingy. Well, very eloquent.
Well, I got to say that it was a great time. It was great. He was having martinis, and I was having...
And cheese also.
Something. Don't know what it is.
And Jolene cutting the cheese.
Oh, that's right. That was classic. She's the gassiest woman in Hollywood, he said.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Wes wants to know if I would laugh at someone's misfortune.
Say yes.
Well, it depends if it's funny.
Right. Oh, Roger's condition right now, yes.
Oh, laugh at me all you want, man, because I'll never be this stupid again.
Don't go there, guys. Don't go there.
No, not at all.
Yeah, please. What are you doing?
I'll be quiet on that.
Oh, you sure as hell weren't quiet last week, Raimi.
That was funny.
All I kept saying was, "You're welcome, Raimi. You're welcome."
Oh my God, you snorted. It's like Mel. Oh,
gosh, Roger.
Yay! I told you he was the drunk male version of me.
Oh,
the
God.
Male, the drunk version.
Hey,
of
Melanie,
male.
When's your birthday?
Mine?
Yeah,
November.
When? I'm sorry?
November.
Yeah, okay, November when?
November 4th.
November 4th. Okay, I'm going to put that on the calendar because I'm going to have to hire someone to sing for you because if I sing, you'll never talk to me again.
None of us
That's
will
not
talk
a joke.
To you again.
That's not a joke.
Not a joke for me either.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
You guys could record it and then...
I'm going to have to record it. Again, if I sang, you'd never talk to me again because you actually have some real, real talent.
Thank you.
You have Canadian talent that come out on your program. Oh, I hear that laugh. Oh, I'm going to pay for this tomorrow. It's all right. Well, guys, we got 4 minutes left. Anyone have any jokes?
I'll try to think of one. Let's see. Oh, hey, guys, did you hear in Iraq they're going to replace Kmart's with Target's?
You pig.
Thank you. Come here every Tuesday, try the veal.
Ha, 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 that was good. Hey, guys, I had a story for John. It was about the time I was on my baseball team. Now, for those of you that know me, when I'm on the baseball field, I'm usually pretty calm and cash. I never really said anything because, number one, I played in South Central. Two, they were all gangbangers. Three, I was not a gangbanger. So since I was playing down there when I was young in my early 20s and maybe late 20s, I generally had to be, let's say, well-behaved or else I'd be shot at or even killed. So I was always out there. I was kind of cool. But there was this one time I was playing first base. Our stupid pitcher, Leobardo, threw a pitch, line drive to my right. I dive to my right, short hop it, and I look up to throw it to my pitcher who hasn't even left the mound yet. Oh, what the hell? I know you're 45, but come on. So I run towards first base, and Roly-Poly is making it halfway down. I'm like, oh, man, I got to book it. So I'm getting close to the bag. I'm like, Roly-Poly's going to beat me. So I did my best Superman impression with my left hand holding my glove, going right for the bag. I dove over the bag. Roly-Poly jumps over me, and the ump from the distance calls, "Safe!" I jumped up, ran towards home plate. And I went and I told the ump, "What the hell, dude? The guy hasn't even touched the bag. He's out. What the hell? Couldn't you see it?" I take my glasses off, and I'm like, "Do you need them? I've got an extra pair. I even have a third pair if you break the first one." "Dude, you're so blind." I went off on him. I questioned his lineage, questioned whether his mama was illegal and otherwise. I wondered if she was married. Oh, I just let him have it.
Oh.
And you know, the ump was just there, just looking at me because he was shocked. Because I was actually, you know, he's probably saying, "Oh, my God, the dumb motherfucker actually speaks. I can't believe it."
Oh, that's right. I mean, you told me that, Roger. That's right.
You know, and you know, I just went off on him. And then, you know, the ump just stood there. And at this point, I'd been yelling at him for about a minute. No one had ever done it. I knew he carried a 9mm, so, you know, whatever. And, you know, I finally told him, "You're a cocksucker." And he looked at me. And he just looked at me, and I guess I was like, "Haven't you seen Bull Durham? Those are the magic words, stupid." Oh, but that's right. I guess the movie's in English. That's why you've never seen it, you freaking idiot.
You guys should look in the chat room. It's really funny. "Hey, Roger, but nothing will be when you stole home base when it was a timeout."
Oh, shut up, dude.
You stole home base at a timeout?
Another story. So, okay, guys, I go back to first, and Roly-Poly's there, and he says, "I was safe." I looked at him. I said, "You idiot! You still haven't even stepped on first." So whatever. I go back. The inning ends on a line drive. I go sit down in the dugout, and the ump comes over, and this is why I say I'm gonna bang people out of the game. He says, dude, I was about ready to bang you out of the game. I'm just looking at him, and he walks away, and I look at my teammates. What the hell didn't I say? I called him a cocksucker. Didn't you hear me? They go, yeah, yeah, you did. You did twice. I'm like, he didn't kick me out. I'm like, okay, whatever. So that was a story I wanted to tell him because that was the only time I ever got a chance to actually pretty much flip an umpire off and get away with it. I never did it again. But, guys, we have a minute. I want to thank everyone that's with us.
Yeah.
Everyone that came in the chat room, Sports Geeks, Sci-Fi Ian, The Roundtable, Laker Fan, Downtown Hash Brown, which is Wes, OWD, the Canadian, Fantasy is Not Reality, Shazam, and Noriega. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that bum.
Yeah, that's me. And we have Ramey, Melanie, Shazam, and Richard here with us. We're 30 seconds, guys. Let's hear it.
I'll go last. Go ahead.
Rock and roll forever.
Rock and roll forever.
Keep them
alive.
Thank you. That's not for me, I know.
It's good fun, guys. Good fun. Appreciate it. Check the schedule. We had a good time. Guys, live long and prosper. 10 seconds. And peace!
Shazam! We're out of here. Thank you, folks, for listening. Good night.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.